Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Yes, sir. Thank you. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's been a couple of weeks since we were here. Of course, we had cottage prayer meeting, and then we had revival, so we are a couple of weeks removed from where we left off in 2 Corinthians 5. But we left off with the key point being that all who have died to Christ should live for Christ. That we no longer live for ourselves, but we should be those who live for Jesus Christ. That Jesus has been raised from the dead, and therefore we can be raised from the dead and we can have eternal life. And if we put our faith in Jesus and we give our life to Him and seek to serve Him, then we die to ourselves. We're not living for the flesh. We're not living for the world. We should be living for Jesus. And so that's kind of a brief summary of the last couple of verses before we get into the verses tonight. So let's pray and then we'll get started. God, we thank you for your word, and I pray that your word would challenge us tonight, that we would grow in it, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, God, that you would hide me behind the cross, that I would preach and teach in a way that brings glory and honor to you, and just let your Holy Spirit be with us. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 16. From now on, then, we do not know anyone in a purely human way. Even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know Him in this way. Well, what exactly does this mean? It doesn't really necessarily jump off the page exactly what he's saying here, but he's saying this, that when we put our life in Jesus Christ, we should be a new person. We should be changed, as we're going to see as we read through these verses. And so he says, once that moment comes in our life that we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, and we have been cleansed from our sins, and we begin to live for Jesus and not for ourselves, there's a change. Now he says, look, from now on then, okay, there was a point before we knew Jesus and His resurrection and in all of His power and glory, but now we know Jesus after the resurrection and in His power and glory, so from now on then, we do not know anyone in a purely human way, even if we have known Christ in a purely human way. So he's saying, we knew Christ in a purely human way. He came, He was a human, He walked on this earth. He was a human just like you and I. But He's much greater than that. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And so we know people in a human sense, in a fleshly way, in an earthly way. We all know each other as humans. But what the Bible really calls us to is a spiritual knowledge of each other. That the Spirit would guide us. That the Spirit would lead us in our life. And so he's saying, look, we don't just know each other as humans anymore. We are now brothers and sisters in Christ through the Spirit of God. And so we don't look at things from a purely human perspective. We have to ask God to help us through the Holy Spirit to look at things maybe in the way that he looks at things. And so we don't want to look at things from a human perspective. We want to look at it from a godly perspective. Now, the story of Samuel is a good story here. When Samuel had to go appoint the new king, and it was going to be one of the sons of Jesse. And when he goes to see the sons of Jesse, he looks for the best looking, tallest, strongest, the best looking guy there. And he says, this has to be the guy that God wants to be king. Now what he was looking at was the physical. He was looking at the purely human part of Jesse's son. But what God was concerned about, what was the spiritual, what was in the inner man. And so Samuel goes through all the sons and he thinks he's going to pick the right one, and God says, no, that's not the right one. even though physically, in a human way, they looked like they were the one for the job. It was the one who had the Spirit of God upon him, that had the heart of God, that was going to be the one for the job, and it ended up being David. Not the one, maybe from a human perspective, would have looked like the one who would have been fit to be king, but it was God who was going to appoint him as king because his heart was right. So God looks at things in a different way than we do. And so once we are filled with the Spirit, then we need to begin to take on some of the attributes of God and pattern our life after Jesus Christ so that we can try to be more like him in every way. So what does that look like? Well, from a strictly human sense, we may look into the world and we may see bad things that go on and bad people that do bad things. And we may be quick to say, well, they shouldn't do that, or they should live their life a different way, or they should make better decisions. And we might look at them in that sense, and maybe some of those things are true. But how does God look at people who are struggling, who are making bad decisions? He looks at them and he says, I don't want them to make those bad decisions. I want them to know that I love them. I want them to know my grace. I want to shower my grace upon them and shower my love upon them so that they'll know there's something better than what they're living in the world. And so what do when we see people who maybe aren't living right, who are struggling with some sin, with some lifestyle choices? Now, we don't pretend that those things are okay. We know that sin is sin. We call sin sin. But is compassion what drives us, or is it a spirit of judgment? That's easy to look at somebody and say, shame on them, I want to pass judgment. But it is the Lord who judges. But it's also the Lord who has compassion. And so maybe when we look at people with the Holy Spirit that's in us that we receive once we follow Jesus Christ, we are no longer purely human. We've been changed. We've been transformed. And we see people in a human way, but we also see them through the eyes of God, or we should, as we see how Jesus interacts with people through the Scripture. We see it on more than one occasion that Jesus has compassion on the crowds. He has compassion on the people. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees that are out trying to trip him up. Even the things he says to them that are kind of harsh, or things that should get their attention. He calls out the very things that they do, and they should have said, whoa, wait a minute, he's talking about us. And they did do that. They did do that. He'd say something, and they'd say, he's talking about us. But instead of saying, hey, you know, he's right, I need to change, they would get mad at him. He would say, here's the thing you're doing, and you're doing wrong. And they should have said, whoa, maybe he's right. But instead, they said, we got to find a way to get rid of this guy. And so when we experience people and encounter people in the world, we see the purely human part of them, but we don't always know their story. We don't know why they make the decisions they do or how they got to the situation they're in. And again, we're not justifying anything that occurred, but people go through a lot. People experience a lot. And once the Holy Spirit indwells in us, then I think we need to have a little bit of that compassion that Jesus had. So we knew Jesus in a human way. He was a carpenter, but he was not just a carpenter. He was the Son of God, and he changed the world. And he changed the lives of many people while he walked on this earth, and he changed the lives of many more when he was crucified and resurrected for all of eternity. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Now that's good. It's good when something old is made new. It's good when something that's worn out is made fresh again. And when we give our life to Jesus Christ, we are a new creation. Now we need to remember this, and we need to stand firm on this, because our old self was pretty rough, and maybe even our new self is sometimes. But before we come to Christ, we're probably pretty rough. We got lots of stories of things that we did, and the way that we acted, and the way that we treated people, and the things that were in our heart that are just not good things. And sometimes the thoughts and the memories of our old self, they just kind of bombard us. You know, we'll wake up in the middle of the night and we'll remember something we did 20 years ago that just kind of keeps nagging at us. But that's our old self. Yeah, we were sinful. We're not proud of that, but we're free from that. We're not enslaved in that. We're a new creation. And so we need to rejoice in that. I'm not who I was yesterday. And if we say we are in Christ, but we're living like we did yesterday today, then maybe we need to re-examine our life. Maybe we're not a new self. Maybe we're the same old self. Now, that's not to say that even when we're a new person that we don't sin, we're not perfect when we come to Christ. But we need to be able to gauge our life and say, if I'm living pretty close to what I was living before I came to Christ, after I supposedly came to Christ, then maybe we're not a new creation. Maybe we're just an old creation trying to fake it, trying to put on the new clothes, but they don't fit. Because really, deep down inside, we're still the same old person. But the Scripture says that those who are in Christ are a new creation. So praise the Lord. If we've done things in the past, then we repent of those things, and we'll never forget about those things, but we cannot allow them to overcome us and get us down and weigh us down. We have to realize we're a new creation, and we're called to new things and better things, not the old lifestyle. Not to be depressed by the old lifestyle, but to rejoice in the new lifestyle. And say, God, these are the things I did, but God, what do you want me to do? I'm a new man. I'm a new woman now. God, how do you want to use me? Verse 18. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Okay, the first part here, great little word. Everything is from God. Everything is from God. There's a good reminder. Everything is from God. Everything we have is from God. Everything in the world is from God. Now, it's a good time in our life when we come to that realization. Now, there's a lot of people in our world that haven't come to that realization. They think everything that they have is from themselves. It's from their own doing. That they're just entitled to all of the resources of the world and the waters of the seas and the trees of the earth and the air and that we breathe into our lungs. Some people just think, well, I'm just entitled to those things because I just live. But everything is from God. So every breath we take, it's from God. We didn't do anything to earn that. We didn't make the air. The water we drink, it's from God. We didn't make the water. God made the water. Everything that we have is from God. Everything that we make, every paycheck that we get, every crop that comes into our garden, it's from God. Everything that we have is from God. Some people say, well, I worked. I made my empire. I made my millions. Yeah, you did. But you didn't start from nothing. You started from something. You didn't just start from the existence of absolutely nothing that we can't imagine. You started from something, and that something was made by someone, and that someone is God. So everything that we have in life, everything that we have is from God, and we need to remember that. It helps us to stay grounded, I think, to say, okay, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. The fact that I can get up and walk and breathe today is because of God. The fact that everything I eat is from God and every money I make is from God, then maybe what we have from God should be used in some way to serve God. Because everything that we have is from God. And who is God? God is the one who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean to be reconciled? It means that people are at odds with each other. You might have known people like that. You may be people like that. You may be like that right now. There may be somebody that you are at odds with, a family member or a friend or a coworker, and you just don't get along. There's something that's happened. They said something to you. You said something to them. They looked at you wrong one day, and for whatever reason, you're just at odds with each other. You might speak. You might do just enough to get by, but there's a tension there. And there's no good relationship there. And it's like you're always butting heads, and it always makes you feel angry when you see them. And that's what it means when you're at odds with somebody, is that there's something between you that's hindering you from getting over that and having a relationship with that person. Well, that's For us, the Bible calls sin. There's something that's between us and God that separates us from God, and it's our sin. But God gave us a solution to that sin. Wasn't anything we could do. After all, everything we have is of God. There's nothing we can do to earn God's salvation. It's all His. So we can't do anything that's His for ourselves to earn our salvation. There's something between us, our sin, that separates us from God. But God, through Jesus Christ, reconciled us to Himself. So now we're in good relation with God. Now we can have that relationship, that tension that keeps all of us as humans from God, our sin, has washed away through Jesus Christ. So we're not at odds with God anymore. We're not enemies of God, as Romans 5 says. We are friends of God. That's a good thing. You read the Bible, you see what God does to His enemies. It's not good. But what does God do for those who are His? Even when they mess up sometimes, God is faithful. God provides for them. God protects them. God fights for them. God feeds them. It's a good thing to be a friend of God. And here we are told that we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So we no longer will be at odds with God if we have trusted in Jesus Christ. If we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Now listen at that. Paul says, this message, this good news, that we were at odds with God, we were sinners against God, we were separated from God with no good relationship, we were enemies of God. He says, good news, Jesus came, He died on a cross, He was resurrected, our sins are forgiven, we're a new creation, we're reconciled with God, we are friends of God, and therefore, he says, the message of reconciliation needs to continue through us. Now, I don't think he's just talking about just himself and those who are with him. I don't think he's just talking about the apostles that were with Jesus. I think he's talking about Christian men and women. That if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then we are reconciled of God, then we are the ones who God has called to bring the message of reconciliation. That's a big responsibility. That God has called us to be the ones to bring the message of reconciliation. So how's the world going to hear the good news? How are they going to know that they're a sinner but God loves them? How are they going to know that there's grace and that there's love and that there's someone to have compassion on them? How are they going to know that if they don't see it through us? Now God could work a miracle. He could appear to them in a bright ball of light and He could tell them that. And maybe He still does. There's people that say that happens and I don't doubt it for a second. But I think way more times than not, the way that people are going to be reached is through us, because we are the ones who are called to bring the message of reconciliation. So are we doing that? Does the world see that in us? Do they see compassion and love and grace in us? Or do they see someone who's judgmental and angry and unloving? What do they see? I don't know. We have to answer that question for ourselves. Maybe we don't like the answer we come up with. Maybe we try to fake ourselves out and say, oh, I'm pretty good. But maybe if we're honest, we say, man, the world doesn't always see good stuff from me. They don't always see compassion and love. But we are the ones who are called to bring the message of reconciliation, the good news of Jesus Christ. Continuing on, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen at that. We are ambassadors for Christ. You think about that for a second. You, as a Christian, are a representative of Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about politics for a second. I know we all love that, especially in church. But you think about every state, and every state you vote on people that we call representatives, right? And these representatives, they go to Washington, and they represent you and what you want and what you like and what you desire for this country. But then you turn on the TV and you see your representative and he's saying this thing and you say, wait a minute, I don't want that. And he says this other thing and you say, well, I don't want that. And everything that he says and does and fights for, you don't want. He's a bad representative. He's not doing anything he should do. He's not representing any of the things that are important to you. So what about us with God? We are God's ambassadors. We are His representatives. So when God looks at us, does He look at us like we look at our political representatives? Did the things that we do, is God saying, yep, that's exactly what I want. That's exactly the way I want people to act. That's exactly what I want people to know. That's exactly what I want people to hear. That's exactly what I want people to see. This is exactly what's going to get my kingdom growing in this world. Is that what God sees from our actions? Or does He look at us and say, well, He ain't representing me when He did that. And she wasn't representing me when she said that. That doesn't represent my love. That doesn't represent my compassion. That doesn't represent my grace. That doesn't represent my Son. So what kind of representatives are we tonight? We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, there's only two types of ambassadors you can be, a good one or a bad one. There ain't no in between. So we have to look at our life and say, okay, when we go out there and we tell people, I'm a Christian, well, what do our actions say? If you were to go stand in a court of law today and you were accused of being a Christian, would your actions be enough to get you off the hook? If you're accused of being a Christian, would your actions be enough to call you to be guilty there? Is there enough evidence in your life that would convict you? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe we say we're Christians and we don't live like it at all. Maybe we're horrible ambassadors for Christ. Maybe we're not ambassadors at all. Maybe we're just pretending. Paul says here, look, you are called to be ambassadors for Christ. Certain that God is appealing through us, we plead on Christ's behalf. What do we plead? We plead, be reconciled to God. That is the message. We are pleading on Christ's behalf. What are we pleading to people? We're telling them, look, God loves you, but He does not love that you're living in sin. Your sin has separated you from God, just as my sin has separated me from God. But I've got good news. He sent Jesus Christ so that your sins could be forgiven. So therefore, repent and be reconciled to God. That is the message. And Paul says that we, Christians, ambassadors for Christ, are to carry that message to a lost and dying world. Verse 21. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful verse tonight? Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He took the curse. He took the punishment for our sin. He took what we deserved. We deserve to die. We deserve that punishment that He experienced on the cross. And if God would have allowed us to experience that punishment, it would have just been the beginning of that punishment. We would have been punished on a cross or in whatever form we would have been punished, and then we would have died and been separated from God from all of eternity. That was our punishment. That's what we deserve, because we're sinners. But Jesus, who knew no sin, took our sin. He took our punishment. And with Jesus, it was nailed to the cross. So Jesus got what we deserved. And in turn, when we trust in Jesus, we get something that only Jesus deserved. So that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. We don't deserve that. It's not like God's going to look down and say, okay, you did a pretty good job in your life, and the good outweighed the bad, therefore I'll consider you righteous. Nope. We are made righteous by one thing and one thing alone, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. That He was nailed to the cross, that His blood was shed for us, that His body was nailed to that cross for us, that He was put in a grave, and that 3 days later, He arose. And that is the source of our righteousness. Now, if we're living in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, praise God, we are a new creation, and we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of God. How are you representing Him in your daily life? Let's pray. God, we thank You for this good passage, and what a challenge it is, and what a call it is for us to examine ourselves, dear Lord, and maybe we fail the test when we start examining ourselves, dear Lord. Maybe we don't represent You good or hadn't represented You good. I pray that You would help us to bring Your grace and Your love and Your mercy and the truth of reconciliation through Jesus to this world, dear Lord. I pray that You would help everyone here and listening to be a new creation in Jesus today, that the old would pass away and that we would know that it's passed away and that we would rejoice in knowing that we are in Jesus Christ. God, if we have received the righteousness of Jesus Christ today, we thank You that our sins have been forgiven, and I pray that You would help us to live in that righteousness. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.